Hey, what's up, homegirl, homeboy? I don't even know what that means.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Uh-huh. Hold on tight. All right. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I think we all like that sort of thing, don't we? I believe that...
Whatever.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. It's what you clicked on. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello. Welcome to the program. My name is indeed Ron Van Dam. That's absolutely accurate. I used to have a pseudonym, Sue, when I was at my first radio station way, way back, way, 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 way back. I had the name Ron Nelson Peterson. Do any of you go that far back with me, so to speak? That's what she said. Yeah, I was Ron Nelson Peterson because I thought that was a cooler name and I wanted to remain anonymous. I didn't want to be a public asshole. I wanted to be a private one. But now I'm a public one and I relish in it. So Ron Van Dam is not my real name. It's really Poindexter McCarthy. So joke's on you, I suppose. I suppose it's on you. It's always on you. You know, I have some of the greatest audiences in the world. I really do. And I love you all. I really... Oh, come on. Give me some love. Oh, stop it. It's not a Trump rally. Get over it. Or a Trump show, I should call it. Isn't that funny? Donald Trump, when he's interviewed by the news stations, he says, yo, we had thousands and thousands of people at my show last night. I mean rally. Guy thinks it's a show. Well, it is a show. It's a pathetic show, is what it is. Maybe the guy should be doing Broadway. I don't know. I have no idea what's going on. I don't know what's going on with this country of ours. I don't know what great philosopher said this, but one of them did, and, you know, it was something along the lines of great democracies fail at the hands of their own people. It's very similar to a football team. Those of you that live in New England, the New England Patriots, they can be a wonderful football team, but sometimes they're just not into it, and the other team only scores like 3 points and the Patriots lose 3-0 because the Patriots like beat themselves. They didn't play. They went to the game, but they didn't play. They got defeated because they basically didn't show up. Well, that's sometimes what this country is like. I don't think it shows up sometimes. And I guess that's why people like Donald Trump, because they are so disenchanted with the Congress and the White House. So they're just, you know, the answer to things is never just to go freaking nuts. That's not the answer. Just because you're angry and upset and frustrated doesn't mean that you start making bad choices. That's when you start making good choices. But that's where the American public has got it all messed up. They're just throwing their hands up saying, what the hell? No one's doing anything. I'm just going to be irresponsible and just make things even worse. And people prey on you, man. They prey on you. It's like some guy from Nigeria telling you that he's going to put $10 million in your bank account. You can get the $10 million for only $1 million. Put $1 million in, you can get $10 million. And people go, oh, yay, yay, sounds good. You get screwed every time. Wake up. Wake up. I don't know what's happening. I really don't. I'm starting to get very disenchanted with even the people that I talk to. People that have been friends of mine for decades. All of a sudden, I just wonder why they're even on the planet. Like, what is your mental capacity, actually? Are you nothing but skin and bones and a screwed up head that's like all messed up from beer every weekend? What is with you? Why are you people not thinking? That brain in your head, can you use it, or are you just doing your goofy imitation? You know, like a hit over the head with a bat and you go, okay. Is that what it is? What is it? What is it? I don't understand what it is. What is it with you people? Chris, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to that guy standing next to you and that woman standing next to you, these people who, good people who have been sucked up by the vacuum cleaner of absurdity. I don't know what happened to you. Stand strong, my friends. Don't get sucked up. Don't get sucked up. I'm telling you, I don't know what has happened. You know what I blame this all on? People. But I blame it all because people are supposed to be smarter than what is going on right now. It's supposed to be smarter than that. But here's what I blame it on. It's the internet. It's freaking Al Gore. Al Gore didn't invent the internet. I really don't think he did. Why can't somebody just call him on it and say, excuse me, Al, I don't think you invented the internet.
Oh, yes, I did.
I don't think you did. So stop saying that.
I never said I did.
You never said you didn't.
The internet is screwing things up. It's giving terrorists and rogue countries and people like Sarah Palin and Donald Trump the ability to communicate their sick freaking ideas in an instant. That wasn't a good idea. That internet thing was not a good idea. Not at all. Anyway. I mean, it's nice to get information quickly by Googling, but it should just be that. You shouldn't be able to do anything else on it. I mean, I don't know why someone should be able to sit at a computer and have the ability to, within 10 seconds, look up how to make a homemade bomb. I mean, how is that good? How is that a good thing? I think there's good and bad to everything, and the bad is being exploited right now more than the good is. The good is just frivolous, mindless entertainment. The bad is serious crap, serious stuff. I had no problem whatsoever looking up the answer to things in a book. I had no problem with that. No. I had no problem with that at all. I don't need to know everything that quickly. I had no problem with dialing the phone. I had no problem with dialing the phone, or even the push button phone was good. And someone would answer the phone on the other end and say, hello, this is the Nabisco company. How can I direct your call? I had no problem with that. It was a person. Someone had a job, man. Someone had a job. Someone was hired to answer the phones. And in these big companies, there were like 20, 30 people to answer the phones. And they hired people, and they had jobs, and they fed their families, and they bought stuff. And they had houses and cars. There was a middle class. There was an American middle class, and they were all very comfortable and happy and proud of their country. And why? Because they had jobs. They could answer the phone. How can I help you? We'll send somebody right out. They'll be there in an hour, sir. Well, thank you very much, ma'am. As opposed to you dial a number. Hello. For Spanish, press 1. Habla solo plalón, press 2. If you're calling to Beltane, press 3. If you got to fake up your face, then press 4.
I don't like that. I like a person to answer the phone. Hello, how are you today? How may I place your call? How can I help you? A person who had a job.
Screwed it all up. We screwed it all up with this computer shit. We really, really did. We screwed it all up. And the problem is you can't have a little computer stuff. Either it's all or nothing at all. That's the way we are in society. We invent something or we offer something, but that's not good enough. We have to build upon it and build upon it and build upon it until it becomes an evil thing. All the good now becomes evil. When people invented the internet, and I don't know who it was, they didn't say, we'll invent the internet, but we better be careful because someday someone's going to learn how to make bombs by going through our internet, and people are going to pass along terrorist information through our systems, and people are going to be hacking to systems and shut down our banking system and shut down our companies and steal people's identities. So maybe we shouldn't invent this.
Go on and invent it.
They never thought of that. They never thought that could happen. Hey, when Bush invaded Iraq, we never thought that ISIS would come out of this. They never thought about that.
You got to think about the consequences before you do anything.
Some people don't think about that when they get married.
Hey, look at her. She looks really good. She got nice legs and she's okay. I think I'll marry her. Let's go to Vegas and get married.
What? Don't you think about the consequences?
No. I had a few beers. I don't think about consequences.
I don't get it. I don't understand. I'm surrounded by people that aren't very smart anymore. And I thought they were, but I guess a lot of them aren't. And that's disturbing to me. And every year, we gauge the degradation of society by television. Do you remember, some of you aren't old enough, most of you are, when you'd watch network television, CBS, NBC, ABC, there wasn't any Fox back then, they had standards, they had broadcast standards. You couldn't say certain words. You couldn't introduce any sexual thoughts to any great extent. It was very puritanical. But they did that because they wanted to protect the family unit, because the American middle class was so strong and so healthy and so confident that they didn't want to screw it up. And that's what people wanted. They wanted that purity. They wanted that stability. They didn't want things that were on the edge. And then television changed a little bit, and they started introducing certain words on television that they wouldn't have allowed before. You could say ass now. Couldn't say that before. Little introductions of words. And then cable came along. Oh, cable. Cable, where instead of four channels, you could have 200. 200 channels of crap instead of four channels of crap. You could get your news anytime. You could watch anything you wanted at any time. There were entire channels devoted to your specific interests and numerous channels devoted to your special interests or whatever they were. You could watch softcore porno, whatever. You could do anything. Cable television. And you could curse. You could throw out curse words. You could say the S word, the F word, all that stuff. Way back in time, on network television, you couldn't have innuendos and sexual content in the evening, because that's kids were watching with their families. Families would watch television together. They would gather together on Sunday nights and watch The Wonderful World of Disney on ABC. And families would watch shows together. And then around 9, 10 o'clock at night, the kids would go to bed, and the shows were a little bit more mature in their subject content, but not in their profanities. That was still controlled. But that was time for kids to go to bed. But before 9 o'clock at night, you couldn't even have subject matter that was off the family charts. Now, you can get profanities 24 hours a day on cable. As a matter of fact, I was watching MTV last night. I like the show Catfish. Do you know what that is? I'm not going to go into it. I don't have time. And it's MTV, you know. It represents the young adults of today, and in many cases, the kids, the teenagers of today. MTV. It appears only as a cable channel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is what children, and not so much young adults, but more so teenagers, this is what happens. They have the MTV Movie Awards coming up in a few days. I don't know when it is. I didn't pay attention to that part. I was simply appalled by the television commercial. It's disgusting. It's lewd. And if I were a parent, I'd probably take my head and just dump it in a bathtub of water and just drown myself. Because this is what your children are watching. This is a commercial. I think it's a 20-second commercial is what it is, for the MTV Movie Awards. This commercial airs all day. And here it is now.
I got the greatest fans in the world right now.
No, shut the fuck up.
Sure, you shut the fuck up.
These are my fans on this.
Your fans.
Fuck your people. All your fans have bald heads, including the women.
Now, that was Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and that tiny little comedian guy. I don't even remember his name because I don't even think he's funny. He's really tiny. He's like, he's a black midget pretty much. I you know, whatever. You know who I'm talking about. They're sitting on two stools there in front of the camera and they're cursing at each other. And this is a commercial for the MTV Movie Awards. These two guys are hosting the show. There's another commercial where they have this again. And then at the end, the announcer says, that's the MTV Movie Awards. It's effin-tastic. It's fun effin-tastic. And of course, there's a bleep. I don't know why we have to refer to a television program with the word fuck in it. I don't know why that has to be an adjective for an MTV general audience, young kids television show, award show. The commercial that I just played for you is absolutely disgusting. It serves no purpose whatsoever. If you find that to be funny, then I may have a problem with you as far as your simulation into society. Because it's not funny. It's taking a word, a profanity word, and having two guys go back and forth, saying it in every sentence, bleeping it out. It's bleeped out in the commercial itself. And that's supposed to be humorous and alluring to watch the movie awards. I'm going to play it for you again just to disgust you once more as it disgusted me.
I got the greatest fans in the world right now.
No, shut the fuck up.
Sure, you shut the fuck up.
These are my fans on this.
Fuck your fans.
Fuck your people. All your fans have bald heads, including the women.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait to watch that show. It's an award show. I don't even know what to say at this point. I'm just amazed that I sit amongst this crap these days, and I don't know where society around me has degraded. Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, they're trading insults about their wives. Ted Cruz's super PAC, he says he didn't know about it. They did a television commercial showing Donald Trump's wife. She's a former model. She's lying there totally nude in a model pose on some type of a carpet, and she looks incredibly hot. And Cruz says, "Do you want this to be the first lady? If not, vote for Ted Cruz." And Donald Trump tweets back to Ted Cruz, "Don't you dare go there about my wife, or I'll start exposing things about your wife, and you know what I'm talking about." And I'm saying to myself, holy crap. These people are running for president of the United States. All of us can run around like stupid little chickens, which apparently most of us are, but the one person that I expect to be able to be above all of this childishness would be the President of the United States, the individual which represents our country, not only here, but around the world. That person has got to be held at a higher standard. And that's what's scaring the hell out of me. And I know all of you think that Donald Trump is just like you. He talks just like you do. He thinks just like you do. He says the things that you would want to say, but sometimes you don't. He is your mind. He speaks your mind. Maybe he does. But that would be a great role for a guy in a bar. It's not a great role for the leader of the free world who has to be the diplomat amongst all these tenuous countries, that has to have the smarts, the wisdom, the know-it-all, the diplomacy, the intelligence, the professionalism, the maturity to image this country. Or is the image of this country a bunch of people standing there smoking a butt, drinking a beer, and cursing? Is that the image of the country that you want? That's what's bothering me, my friends. The one job that is supposed to be the most important in the world has to be occupied by somebody that looks halfway intelligent and acts halfway intelligent. And that's what scares me. And that's what should scare you. So I'm saying.
The cause for the fighting has long been a ghost. Malice and habit have now won the day. The honors we fought for are lost in the fray.
You can disagree with me politically, Republican, Democrat, whatever the case may be. That's okay. That's not what I'm talking about. This country has always disagreed among political parties. It made them greater. It brought out ideas on both sides of the aisle so they could find common ground to move forward and get the best of you and the best of you. That was okay. That's what the country's supposed to be about. That's what's in the Constitution. That's what the Founding Fathers had in mind. But it was not to lose all dignity. And to lose all progression and to lose the greatness of this country. It was to make it greater, not to divide it, not to make it stupider, not to make it more divisive. It has nothing to do with political parties. It has to do with respect. Honor. Dignity. Scarring. You know, one of the great things about childhood when you were growing up is you could always go to mommy or daddy to answer all the questions for security, for wisdom. No matter how tumultuous your childhood was, how destructive, how uneasy it was, there was always somebody to go to. Maybe it was your parents, maybe it was your priest, your church, whatever the case may be. But there was always a figure that you could run to get those answers, to feel that comfort, to feel that dignity. That person that said, it's all right, I'm above it all, I can take care of it for you. I guess that's what we're looking for, but we don't have.
This is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But I hung up my boxing gloves to open the area's new favorite restaurant.
Here we go. It's called...
It's Headshots. Jesus, give me a minute, would you?
Sorry.
Hey, do you love calamari? Then you need to come to Headshots this month for our Carnival of Calamari. That's right, we got tons of great recipes all made with delicious chicken.
Calamari.
Calamari. You gotta try our famous 1-2 punch pasta loaded with shrimp.
Also says calamari.
Calamari. How about a nice beef lo mein piccata? And our spicy school bus fra diavolo? Forget about it. You've never had calamari until you've had the Eiffel Tower at Headshots.
I quit.
During our carnival of I could have knocked Joe Frazier on his ass back in the day.
Oh my God.
Come in and ask for me, Bobby Calamari. Bobby Headshots. I'm the guy that owns the place.
Food's good though. Anyway, let's continue. This is not a show today that is of comedy, highfalutin, laugh on your ass nature. I'll get back to that on the other shows. I just felt that today it was just important to get a little slap in the face. On Monday's show, by the way, we're going to be talking about education in your state. And how things have just gotten totally out of control. We got the rulers shoved up the rectal area as far as education is concerned, and it's time that we got real about that. That's on Monday. On tomorrow's show, Tori Lagarde joins me, and she's starting a new show on this internet radio channel, New England Broadcasting. She'll be starting a show in about a week called Tori, T-O-R-I, exclamation point, with Tori Lagarde, a whole new show. But she'll also be joining me on tomorrow's show as well, and that'll run through the weekend. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to contact me for any reason whatsoever, pick up your laundry, see if you have any messages, you can do so by going to ronvandamshow@gmail.com, ronvandamshow@gmail.com. There we can communicate. That's the only place that I really would even get close to you or even think of communicating to you. And I know you feel the same way about me. So that's a mutual thing. A lot of people are looking toward retirement. A lot of my listeners are in the retirement area, or someday will be soon doing so, or are concerned about it. So I thought it was worth discussing today as well.
Morning, Ron.
Morning, Ron.
How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
Luke Vandermillen is Vice President, Principal of Financial Group, and Jack Vanderhey is Director of Research, Employee Benefit Research Institute. Hey, how are you today? You're good. I heard that already. What part of the country are you in?
We're in Washington, D.C. today.
Ooh, good. Any snow down there?
No, we got rid of it a couple weeks ago.
Good for you. Good for you. We just got it. We got what you got rid of. Anyway, let's talk about retirement. I know that that's why you're here today. And a survey was done recently, I understand, which had some revealing information.
Well, this was the 26th annual survey that the Employee Benefit Research Institute did on retirement confidence survey. We interview 1,000 workers and 500 retirees each year to get a feel for just how confident they are in their overall ability to have a comfortable lifestyle in retirement. This year, we found, not surprisingly, since financial conditions have not changed that much since last year, about the same overall percentage of workers, 21%, felt that they were going to be very confident that they'll have enough to live comfortably in retirement.
Yeah.
This is up several percentage points from 2013, when it was only 13% they were very confident. But probably the most important distinction is between those who have a plan, a defined benefit, a defined contribution, or an IRA, and those who don't. We found that more than one in four, 26% of those with a plan are very confident, whereas only 10% of those without a plan are very confident that they'll have a sufficient amount of money.
I'm assuming that before 2008, 2007, everybody thought that their investment 401ks, et cetera, were as solid as gold forever. And then came those wonderful recession years. And is it still the mainstay attitude that, well, on my 401k, I've got it, and it's okay, but it could be nothing someday?
Well, we did find a substantial drop in overall confidence after the 2008-2009 market crisis. I think, though, you find a situation where many people probably had some false optimism prior to that.
So I think
from a public policy perspective, it's actually been good news because a lot of the false confidence was shaken out of the system. But those that are in a 401k, those that are saving consistently, find that they're on a path that will most likely put them in a situation where they will have enough money for a comfortable retirement.
Good. Okay. So that's better. I mean, I don't know how old you guys are, but when I was a kid, they had a thing called savings accounts. I don't know if anybody knows what that is anymore, but you would put money into it, and you'd be damn assured that it, by the end of the year or in 10 years, you knew exactly how much you're going to have with the percentage rate. And it was enough to be comfortable.
Yeah, there's, you know, it's interesting. The there's lots of different ways that, that people can save for retirement, and the most efficient way for people to save is if they have a plan through their employer, like a 401k plan.
Yeah.
And one of the trends that we've seen over the last few years, which is a really good thing, is increasingly small business owners are automating their 401k plan. So they're automatically enrolling employees once they become eligible. They're automatically increasing their contributions. So they're making it easier for workers to save by automating some of those features, which we think is a good trend.
Okay, so the 401k is still the way to go.
It is it is definitely the way to go. It's the easiest way to go. Payroll deduction is a very painless way to save.
It's painless, and your employer is actually contributing to it.
Most of the time, that's true.
Most of the time, right. Someday, hopefully all the time. Okay. How do we get more information about this? Let's say someone doesn't have a 401k or they want to find out how efficient their 401k actually is.
Yeah, we have a lot of information on our website, which is principal.com, and then you can get more information about the research.
Yeah, the survey results are on the Employee Benefit Research Institute's website at ebri.org.
Okay. So pretty much as long as the market is balanced, then our investments and funds, et cetera, are in pretty good shape. But even over the long haul, in other words, if you had investments back in 2001, you're almost back to the same place you are as we sit here today.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, one of the things that we learned through various different kind of market conditions, and, you know, we saw some market volatility earlier this year, nothing like we saw in 2008 and 2009. But regardless of market conditions, a consistent approach to saving and just kind of paycheck after paycheck is the way to go. Talking to a financial advisor about, what type of investments are appropriate for you so that you can have kind of a diversified approach is the way to ride out that market volatility.
Great. Okay, one more time, where to go for more information?
www.principal.com.
And www.ebri.org.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for the information this morning.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. We'll be right back after these words.
Sleep. Remember when it welcomed you like a friend? Then it became more elusive. But why? When you have insomnia, it may affect the wake neurotransmitters in your brain, disrupting your wake and sleep messages. Belsomra is a prescription medicine for adults who have trouble falling or staying asleep. Belsomra is thought to help turn down wake messages by targeting and inhibiting the action of orexin, a neurotransmitter that plays a central role in sending wake messages. Only Belsomra works this way.
Do not take Belsomra if you have narcolepsy. When taking Belsomra, don't drive or operate heavy machinery until you feel fully awake. Walking, eating, driving, or engaging in other activities while asleep without remembering it the next day have been reported. Belsomra should not be taken together with alcohol. Abnormal behaviors may include aggressiveness, confusion, agitation, or hallucinations. The temporary inability to move while falling asleep or waking up and temporary leg weakness have also been reported. In depressed patients, worsening depression, including risk of suicide, may occur. Alcohol may increase these risks. Side effects include next-day drowsiness.
Sleep. Ask your doctor about Belsomra.
Okay. Don't know how well I can sleep knowing about all those possible side effects. I mean, it could cause death. It can cause your legs not to be able to move. You all of a sudden you can't move your body. You can't. And don't tell you if you don't even go there. Don't even and have a good night's sleep. By the way, whatever. I had all those possible side effects. I'd be up all night making sure that I didn't fall asleep and die. I don't know. But whatever. You know, sometimes you just have to look beyond that and put on a happy face. Seriously, come on.
Gray skies are gonna clear up.
That's right.
Put on a happy face.
Come on, do it.
Brush off the clouds and cheer up.
Brush them off.
Put on a happy face.
Put the face on.
Take off the gloomy mask of tragedy.
That's right.
It's not your style.
Kinda is.
You look so good that you'll be glad you decided to smile.
No teeth, though.
Pick out a pleasant outlook.
Trying to.
Stick out that noble chin.
Oh, boy.
Wipe off that full of doubt look.
There's food on it.
Slap on a happy grin.
You said slap.
And spread sunshine all over the
place. All over the place.
Just put on a happy face.
That's not a bad idea.
Put on a happy face. Put on a happy face. And if you're feeling cross and bickerish, don't sit and whine. Think of banana splits and licorice, and you feel fine.
That easy.
I knew a girl so gloomy.
Me too.
She'd never laugh or sing.
You married her.
She wouldn't listen to me.
That's good.
Now she's a mean old thing.
Well.
So spread sunshine all over the place.
It's all over the
Just
place.
Just put on a happy face.
Okay. Hey, let's break into a dance. Come on.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. You're wonderful people, most of you. Until next time, till tomorrow, I wish you peace. Bye. Wardrobe on today's show is provided by the following. His pants were provided by Sears and his underpants provided by Walmart. Did you learn anything today?
It was unbelievably painful.
Oh, boy.
Whatever.